I sure am thankful to see you today. It's always encouraging to me to be able to know that we can come together on God's day, the first day of our weeks, and we can come and we can sing praises and remind ourselves that this world isn't our home, that we have something far greater than this. It's also great for me to be able to know that we can come together and gather around this table, as Virgil reminded us, and remember Jesus. Focus on the cross. That's what our lives ought to be about, right? Focusing on the cross. It's also encouraging to me to know that we can open God's Word. We can read it aloud. We can pray. We can study it, and we can challenge ourselves, which is what we've gathered together to do today. I'm so excited that you're all here. I am. We have members here. We have visitors here. And that's always a great thing. But today, for the very first time, we have a special, special person. She had an amazing entry into this world, and she's living in an amazing life. She has wonderful parents, wonderful great-grandparents, and wonderful great-grandparents. And so we want to bring, Tyler's going to bring up, Tyler and Holly are here with Briley Gill for the very first time. I didn't get to hold her in the hospital because she was so small, and so this is my first time today, and I'm excited. I have clean hands. Come on up, brother. Precious cargo right here. Look at Briley, y'all. Papa C, what you think of that, huh? Look at there. Man, she's beautiful. Tyler, congratulations. Holly, I'm so glad. So thankful she's here. There you go. I bring the best out of everybody. Wow, that's a special moment. And I'm so thankful that I have that privilege to be able to do that. I am thankful that Tyler and Holly understand the importance of having their baby here at church. I want to talk with you today about being renewed. Imagine that. But I want to talk about what renewal does. You know, I'm excited that when we turn the page, there's always new hope, right? You're reading a book, and it may not be the most exciting book in the world. And Justin and I are having to read a lot of books these days, and some of them are not the most exciting. And the good news is you get to turn the page. And maybe there's hope for more excitement on that, or there's something we can learn or something we can use to apply to our studies or apply to being better counselors and encouragers for you. And it's that way in life sometimes, right? Every day is a new opportunity for us to turn the page. But the beautiful thing about it is when we turn the page on our lostness, if you will, when we decided, hey, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. I'm going to accept Jesus Christ by being immersed in water for the remission of our sins. Bo came and read to us from Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. Don't you love that passage of Scripture? Don't you love the book of Romans, how Paul laid everything out, not just in chapters, but in a whole letter. He gave us the entire plan of salvation. And in Romans 6, he's talking about dying with Jesus Christ, being buried with Him in baptism. He said once we're buried with Him in baptism, of course, that is Him entering into our lives and we're coming to know Him. But when we are born again, when we're raised up, we're raised to walk in, here it is, newness of life. So when we follow Jesus, we not only have a new outlook on a physical life, but most importantly, we've got a new outlook on our spiritual lives. And so today, I want us to look at life through the eyes of a man who needed a new outlook. He needed a change of scenery. He needed to be renewed. And so today, chances are, some of you came here needing a new outlook on life. Needing a new walk. A new opportunity has been granted to you. What will you do with it? Friday morning, I heard a football coach who makes a lot of money, but he talked about talents, and he talked about how where he is today is not where he started out. And he talked about specifically the two-talent man. He said, I might only have two talents, but what am I going to do with them? And see, that's a great thought for us today. I don't know how many talents you've been given, how many chances you've been given, how many opportunities you've been given, if it's 1, 2, 10, or 1,000, but here they are in your hand. What are we going to do with them? What are we going to do with this new opportunity today? God's granted you life. God's granted you a new chance, a new walk, a new hope. What will we do? You see, it depends on how we look at things. For a long time in my life, I would look at that glass and say, well, it's half empty. Because there was a time in my life I was really a very negative person. Granted, I don't want to make excuses, but this is when I didn't understand depression. And I didn't understand that I was struggling with it, okay? But so I would see things negatively. I could go out in my yard and be out there with my two children who were smaller than they are now. And so I would be outside, and we'd be outside in the family one afternoon. It'd be a beautiful afternoon like yesterday. Wasn't it a beautiful day? Today's another beautiful day. We're outside. We're looking and enjoying life. Kids are playing. They're laughing. And I don't see any of that. I just see the weeds and the way the mole crickets and everything else is destroying my yard. And, you know, I'm just fussing about it and everything. And I remember Michelle, and this is a moment that triggered in my life. She said, can't you just see the good? And I couldn't. Now, I got some help, and thankfully I can today, but chances are maybe you're not depressed. Maybe you are. I don't know. But maybe you're in a moment where you look and you're like, well, I don't see fullness. I see emptiness. I see things not the way that God wants me to see them. Well, if that's you today, guess what? I've got good news for you. I'm going to tell you that that glass is half empty, but God's going to fill it the rest of the way up no matter what. And so today, we can have a renewed outlook just like Zacchaeus did. I love the story of Zacchaeus. I think it's a story that maybe because we think, hey, we know it, we don't spend that much time in it. But today we're going to talk about him for a whole lesson. So turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Luke chapter 19, please. Luke chapter 19. We're going to read this together. I'm turning with you. I didn't have it marked. You believe that? Luke chapter 19. Let's read together verses 1 through 10. Starting in the beginning here. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. I want to just stop you for a moment. Now, I know we're going to read it all and come back to it. But Jericho wasn't a place Jesus really wanted to go through. If you study the text, I mean, there were people talking about killing him and different things going on. And so, you know, he's God in the flesh. And, of course, he gave up the splendor of heaven to walk as a bondservant for us here on earth. But why would Luke put that in there? By the way, Luke was a doctor. He wrote very detailed. And this is a detail I don't want you to miss. You know why I believe Jesus specifically passed through Jericho? For Zacchaeus. For Zacchaeus. Now listen, there are, you know, almost 300 people in here or so today. I don't know what anybody's walk is specifically except mine. Okay, I can assume I know your walk, but I don't know it. But I know mine and you know yours, right? That's what we can assure ourselves of today. And all 300 or so of us have this in mind, okay? Listen, we're here today. Some may be here because we know it's what we're supposed to do. Some may be here because we're supposed to check it off. Or some may be here because you didn't have anywhere else to go and you don't know what else to do. Well, I want to encourage you this. You're here for a reason. And Jesus Christ went through Jericho for a reason. And Jesus Christ is here today. God is here today. His Spirit is here today. And it may be just for you. And I want you to think about that as we go through this lesson. Verse 2. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector. More on that in a minute. And he was rich, by the way. That's like, duh. Okay? If you knew anything about what Zacchaeus did, he was definitely rich. And by the way, a physician's writing that, okay? And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. Jesus, that is. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up. Now again, this is why I put two and two together. Jesus was looking for Zacchaeus. He was looking for him. I'm convinced of that. And saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now I want to confess to you, until several years ago, I always pulled that verse out of context. And I mean, not in a bad way, but I've used a lot of times, Jesus came to seek and save the lost, forgetting why that was there. Because today, in some ways, we may be Zacchaeus. And I'm going to talk more about that in a moment. But Zacchaeus had a lot going against him. A lot of it he brought on himself. I am sure if you will allow me to expound and to get into some thoughts that we really don't know for certain, I'm going to make some conclusions here based on my thoughts. Zacchaeus wanted to climb the corporate ladder. He graduated top of his class, and he was ready to make money. So he went out and he made money. I want to tell you something interesting about Zacchaeus. His name means righteousness or pure. I want you to think about that for a moment. People put a lot of thought and stock into naming their children. If you don't think that is a big deal, go back and study John the Baptist. And his name being John. No, he needs to be after the Father and everything else. And Zechariah said, he wrote it down because he couldn't talk, remember? He said, his name will be John. There was a lot of thought went into names. Emmanuel, God with us. God put thought into these names. And so did the families. And so they had this baby boy. And they were proud. You know, they would show off their pictures if they had them today. And they'd show off their camera phones and all that. This is my son. I saw a billboard the other day. First one I've ever saw. A scene of this, it's a digital billboard, and it's a baby announcement. And they're, hey, my baby's been born. I put it on a billboard. And so, you know, that's the thought. They're proud of their son, and we're going to raise him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And when he, you know, we're going to plant the seed, and we're going to, because when he is old, he's not going to depart from it, right? Well, Zacchaeus said, I got to college again now. I'm ad-libbing here, okay? I'm getting to college, I'm doing my studies, and I'm living it up. Forget Jewish law. I'm going to make money. And he climbed, and he was good at it. He was the superintendent of tax collectors, okay? That meant he was boss and had other tax collectors working under him, so he was getting commission off of them. He was making it himself, and when it says he was rich, he was loaded. He did it. Zacchaeus, you reached the pinnacle of worldly success. You climbed the ladder. You've cheated people. They hate you. But you're rich. You don't have to worry about anything. But I'm going to suggest to you today, because he was rich and in charge and he had it made, quote unquote, he was still empty. He was very poor. He had not lived up to that righteousness name, that pure name. And even though he was rich and in charge, he was short, he was outcast, he was without Jesus Christ. You see, the good news is in this story, Zacchaeus changes. I don't know how much it appears that he changes right then and there. But if you look at that a little bit more, it appears that Zacchaeus and Jesus are already at his house. So maybe Jesus had to go to his house and say, Zacchaeus, let me talk to you. Let me tell you what I'll do for you. Let me open up the door and let me in and I'll change you. And so Zacchaeus there, again, what I'm going to say is in his home, he says to Jesus Christ, you know what, Lord? I am going to change. And so Zacchaeus, the story has a happy ending, right? And we're very excited and we tell it to our children and we talk about it. But the good news is your life today can have a happy ending. It can change. You can be renewed. But in order for Zacchaeus and you and me to do that, he had to change the way he looked at life. He had to change the way he looked at things, if you will. But most importantly, he had to allow Jesus to change his life. He had to allow Jesus in so that his life could be renewed and he could have a different outlook. Now, there's some things that his life teaches us. And I'm guessing that they're lessons that you could probably use today if you find yourself without Jesus Christ. Number one, we got to get out of the crowd. We got to get out of the crowd. What did the crowd do to Zacchaeus? They prevented him from seeing Jesus Christ. Now, I understand he was short and he couldn't see over them, but if there would have been no crowd there, it wouldn't matter how short he was, he just saw him, right? So the crowd surrounding him prevented Zacchaeus from seeing Jesus Christ. The crowd physically, but I'm going to suggest to you also the crowd spiritually. Rich cheaters surrounded themselves with other rich cheaters. And that's who was in Zacchaeus' life. Hey, if Zacchaeus would have said, hey, tax collectors, I'm going to go see Jesus. Oh, man, you don't need him. Why you need that guy? You know? Man, let's just go cheat some more people. Let's get richer. And those people were in his life. And that's who he surrounded. Where's mom and dad who named him pure, who named him righteousness? I don't know. Maybe they're out of his life. Maybe they're dead. I don't know. But here's what I do know. They weren't surrounding him enough, or he didn't allow them in enough to be able to see Jesus for who he was. You see, there was a crowd of sinners. There was a crowd of sin. There was a crowd of money. There's a crowd of worldliness. There's a crowd of people. And there's a crowd of people who also rejected him. If you think back to Pilate, Mark's account says it this way. You see, Jesus was to be crucified. The people hated him. And they wanted to sell him. And they wanted him to go to the cross. And they wanted him to suffer and die. And they wanted the blood on them and their children. It's a terrible scene. But Pilate, again, his wife felt uneasy about it. We know that. Pilate also feeling uneasy about it. He said, why? What evil has he done? Mark then records this, that they cried out all the more, crucify him! Don't miss this. A man who could have said, no, no, no. Mark wrote it. He said, so Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas, delivered Jesus after he had scourged him to be crucified. There was a crowd around Pilate yelling, kill him! Kill him! And he was scared an uproar was going to happen and he was going to be overturned and things were going to get bad. And he said, okay, I'll deliver this innocent man, even though he's not saying this, but it's got to be in his thoughts, right? Even though my wife has had nightmares about it, everything else, I know he's innocent, I'll deliver him to shut you up. And that's us sometimes. We're surrounded by sin. Our jobs take us those places. I'm not saying that we can help it. We go to the grocery store. We're surrounded by sin. We go to the movies. We go to wherever. There's sin all around us. But we've got to stand out. Steve had us do it Wednesday night. Remember, right off the bat, he said, hold your lights up. And I know we may think, well, that's a child song, but folks, what Steve is saying is, no, that's an us song. We've got to stand out. We've got to be the ones, no matter where we are, no matter who we're around, we must get out of the crowd. We've got to be Joshua and Caleb's in a crowd of 12. 12 spies went out. They saw exactly what it was supposed to be. Brought big grapes back. Remember, they had to carry them on sticks. They brought those grapes back and they said, you know what? It's exactly the way God said it was going to be. Imagine that. Imagine that, right? Joshua and Caleb's like, let's go. Let's get the promised land. The other's like, whoa. Yeah. It's like God said it was going to be. They've got giants there. They've got giants. We can't take them. We can't beat them. Well, when they were dying, starving in the wilderness, I imagine they probably thought about that again. But it was too late. Are we going to be in that grasshopper committee? Or are we going to be in the Joshua and Caleb committee? In order for Zacchaeus to change, he had to get above the crowd. He had to get out of the crowd. And I'm going to suggest to you today, for you and I to change, we've got to get out of the crowd that's holding us back. We've got to get out of the world. We've got to get out of the valley. We've got to get out of the sin. We've got to get out of the job. We've got to get out of the relationship. We've got to get out of whatever it is holding us back today from seeing Jesus Christ. Because heaven is worth it. And hell's way too high. Secondly, once we get out of the crowd, what do we got to do? We got to climb. We got to climb. What do you mean by that, Terry? Well, sycamore fig tree specifically, that I believe Zacchaeus, they were surrounding that area that he climbed. It was very strong and it had good branches. Justin is the tree expert. I didn't rely on him for this, but I assume he'll back me up. It was a tree that had strong branches, okay? And he was able to get on it and he was climbing on it. Now, by the way, I want you to think about this scene. I've just glossed over it my whole life because that's what he did. He was a wee little man and he climbed up the sycamore tree, right? For Jesus, he wanted to see. But Zacchaeus was filthy rich. He could have bought the sycamore tree maybe. And he was probably older at this point in his life. By the way, I'm not going to ask you to show of hands, but how many of y'all think you could still climb a tree today? It was a few years ago, Justin will remember this story because he was there. We were at, I think maybe having a pumpkin carving contest out at Stephen Leisha's or something, and we're out by their pond, their lake, and they've got some big trees out there, and of course I'm trying to raise up my child in the way that he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. And I'm teaching him about Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And he says, Daddy, he's little. Daddy, you climb that tree? I said, buddy, I can't climb that tree. He said, but Daddy, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. That's as true as I'm standing here. Boy, that was a lesson. Anyhow. I don't know that I could climb a tree today. If I had, you know, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe a ladder stand I can. But, you know, just to go out there, that's hard. I mean, Zacchaeus, it was not comfortable. It was out of his element. It was out of the ordinary. I mean, you don't read a lot about that in the Bible. People just going out climbing trees. But he did. And it's in there because it teaches us the importance of changing our perspective. You see, Zacchaeus did this because he had vision despite the obstacles. He could see the forest despite the trees, if you will. He could see that something was missing in his life. There are so many people today, and I am unfortunately certain of this, that love wallowing in misery. Misery loves company. Whoever said that and coined that phrase is very, very right, unfortunately. Instead of climbing themselves out of the crowd, climbing themselves out of the situation they're in, they just waller and waller and waller in the slop that they're living in and they're staying in. And you want to say, why? Unfortunately, the devil's good at what he does. But I'm here to tell you today that God doesn't want us to stay there. Hey, this life's tough. And the devil is good at what he does. And we may fall. And we may get distracted. And we may be struggling. But I'm telling you right now, you don't have to stay that way. In a moment in time when he maybe didn't have the energy that he once did, he found the energy. He found the enthusiasm to get up that sycamore tree. He was determined. Right now, maybe you're in a misery. You're wallowing around in it. Maybe you're in a valley. Maybe you're in a pit. The only way out, the only way to see Jesus Christ today, the only way to be renewed and have a different outlook on life is to start climbing. Now, we'll extend a hand, but you've got to climb. You've got to take the hand. Jesus is here. I want to ask you this question. Where two or more gathered in my name, there I'm also in the midst of them. God is on his throne. Jesus is at the right hand. He's in our presence today. Can you see him? If the answer to that is no, maybe you need to start climbing. Thirdly, this morning, we've got to answer the call. Sometimes I get something on my phone that says, unknown caller. There's a button on the right that I push that declines the call. Because if I have answered those calls before and they're like, hey, there's nothing wrong with your credit card. I'm like, I don't even have a credit card. You know? Anyhow. It's telemarketing, junk, right? Junk calls. Spam calls, I think they call them. But Zacchaeus didn't push decline. Jesus Christ said, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. This story would have had a terrible ending if Zacchaeus would have said, nah, Jesus, I like being in this tree. That's not what it says. Zacchaeus, Jesus called his name. He told him to hurry. He told him to come down. He told him he wanted to stay at his house. And in all of this, Zacchaeus could have refused, but he didn't. I've heard people say, well, you know, when's God going to do something for me? Oh, he's done so much. He's done so much. We just got to take his hand. We got to answer the call. Zacchaeus did. And it meant he was 100% committed. Zacchaeus hurried down the tree. Zacchaeus received Jesus with joy. Old people complained, didn't they? They complained on Jesus. They complained on Zacchaeus. He's a sinner. And can you see those Pharisees and Sadducees doing that? Those scribes? See, this is why we're going to kill this guy. He didn't hang out with us. He hangs out with sinners. How dare him? That was their mindset. Listen, we've got nice clothes on today. Whether it's a suit and tie or a dress or the best whatever we have, and we did that because, hey, we love God and we want to be here, you know, but we can take all this off, right? And still understand the importance of seeing Jesus Christ. Being committed to Him. Those Pharisees had the look, didn't they? They had the robes. They had the air. They had the walk. They had the knowledge. But when they took their robes off, they didn't care about love. When they put them on, they didn't care. When they took them off, they didn't care. They cared about the law, and they didn't care about anything else. But Jesus cared about sinners. He didn't have to wear the robes. He didn't have to walk that walk. He wanted to go to Zacchaeus' house because He wanted Zacchaeus to be a disciple, just like He wanted Matthew, just like He wants you, and just like He wants me. Zacchaeus ignored the complaints. He confessed to Jesus. He made things right. And Jesus granted salvation to his house. What a story. I'm going to close with two words. Use them in a sentence. These are two Greek words. I have the English translation and the Greek word under it, and then the English translation and the Greek word under it. And the reason I want to do this, because I think it's no accident that we are told what kind of tree Zacchaeus climbed. I don't think it's an accident. You see, this tree is from the Greek word sycomoria. That's the first word, sycomoria. Okay? But we also know that Zacchaeus confessed to being sycophanteo. Sycophanteo. The definition of sycophanteo is to accuse wrongfully, to culminate, to attack by malicious devices, to exact money wrongfully, to extort from, or defraud. Zacchaeus confessed to being guilty of sycophanteo. But in order to do that, he had to climb a sycomoria. There's two different ways to look at life. And both of those here had the root word sycho. Both had different perspectives. The sycomoria, the sycamore tree. Zacchaeus climbed to see Jesus. But if he stayed on the ground, he would have probably, chances are, remained in sycophanteo. The question I have for you today is this. What sycho are you? Are you going to climb the sycomoria? Are we going to stay in the sycophanteo? Today, Jesus Christ has given you an invitation to get on His back, to climb out of the pit, to climb out of the misery, to get out of the crowd, to be 100% committed. All you have to do is climb. And we can do that right now together. We stand and sing.